In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things." We are reading this evening from the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita. Lord Sri Krishna is here in explaining in such simple and clear words the purpose of this entire creation and the means by which all of our true desires will be fulfilled. The purpose of life was explained even before Lord Brahma created this universe. It is explained that from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, a beautiful lotus flower appeared. And upon that lotus flower, Lord Brahma, who is the great, great, great grandfather of every living being. When Lord Brahma was born, he began to look in all four directions, but he could not see anything but darkness. He did not know who he was or what he was to do, or where he should go. He was immersed in abyss of utter darkness. At that time, the first sound vibration entered into his ears. Tapa. That you should perform yajna. You should perform austerities. And through these austerities, everything will be revealed to you. Lord Brahma sat on that lotus flower, and he began to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And through great effort and determination, he pleased the Lord. When we please Krishna, our life is perfect. At that time, Krishna appeared before Lord Brahma, fulfilled all of his desires, and then explained to him how to create this universe and what the purpose of this universe is. The purpose is to learn what is the ultimate goal of life and to perform any tapasya in order to realize that goal. Krishna explains that the ultimate goal of life is to know him and to love him. And this great land of India, Bharatvarsha, is meant to be the capital of the world for the dissemination of this transcendental knowledge. Bharatvarsha, India, has since the beginning of time been the land of tapasya, not the land of technology. The land of the highest spiritual science and the ancestry of this great land of India is based exclusively on this principle. We find Lord Buddha. He was a prince meant to inherit an entire kingdom. He had a beautiful young wife. Everything a person could possibly want for material enjoyment was his. But he left it all. He detached himself from everything for the purpose of realizing what is the highest truth. Who am I? What is the true goal of life? He saw with his own eyes. He saw the miseries of birth. He saw the miseries of old age, disease, and ultimately death. And he could understand that whether one is rich or poor, whether one is a king or whether one is living in what we call the lower castes, whether one is man or woman, whatever the temporary designations that we call ourselves in this world, inevitably we must suffer old age, disease, and death. Cannot escape it. Krishna says in Gita, Dukalayam Ashashvatam, Mamupetya Punarajanma Dukalayam Ashashvatam, Matmahatmanahatmana Shamshadim Paramam Gatha. That those who have proper intelligence, they know that the real problems of life is not how to get a better education or how to get a nicer house or how to get more prestige within this world or how to maintain a family. The real problems of life are that you must grow old, get diseased, and you must die. And how are you going to solve that problem? Through getting a better car? Through life insurance? Through building nicer hospitals? At the most, through that process, we could temporarily forget the real miseries that are in store for us. Or maybe postpone them for a few days or a few years. Abrama bhuvanar loka punar avatanorjana mamupetya tukonteya punar janma navidyate. But you cannot escape. Sometimes we see educated people from this great land of India who are meant to be distributing transcendental knowledge to the rest of the world. They go to places like America because they want to enjoy material prosperity. The telephones work much better there, and there are more television stations, and the roads are wider and less traffic, and the cars are better, and the schools give a more refined type of education. But Krishna explains in Gita that from the highest planet, Brahma Loka, which is much nicer than America, down to the lowest planet, Patala Loka, which is much more miserable than Bombay, they are all places of misery because they are places where birth and death are inevitable. What is the solution? What is the fulfillment of our real heart's desire? That knowledge is found in Bhagavad Gita. We must understand that when Lord Buddha, when he saw birth, old age, disease, and death, he wanted to show by his example what a man should do in this world. He dedicated his life to the solution to those problems. And materialistic people because of a poor fund of knowledge. They say there is no solution to these problems, so just try to eat, drink, be merry in such a way that you forget them. And where does it end? When the ostrich is being chased by the tiger and he sees there's nowhere to run, his ultimate refuge is to dig a hole in the ground and put his head in the ground. And now I don't see. If I don't see, that means the tiger is gone. That means I can enjoy. Everything's all right. But the reality is that the tiger is about to devour him. Unless we're trying to find a solution to the problems of this world, we will try to blind our eyes from these problems. But we cannot, because it is all around us. Maharaj Bharat, he was also a great king. In fact, this country of India was named after him. Before that, it was called Ilavarta. But Maharaj Bharat was such a great king, the son of Rishabdev. Before he was enthroned, his father gave him that great instruction. Nayam deho deha bhajam da loke kastan kaman arhati vibhujam jay. Tipo divyam putra kayena satvam sudhedyasyam brahma sokyam phanantam. My dear son, you are about to become king. Yadyaracharati srestas tad tad evitarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastara nuvaratate. What great men do, common men will follow. So as a king, you must understand what the purpose of your life is. This human life is not meant for sense gratification. Sense gratification, the enjoyment of this body, is available for the dogs and the hogs. What is their enjoyment? The hog loves to eat stool. When the stool is moist, he's very happy. When the stool is very dry, he's very sad. He's always seeking more and more pleasures for his body. But this human life is not meant to be spoiled like the cats and the dogs and the hogs. This human life is meant to po divyam putra kayena satvam sudhedyasam brahma sokyam tvanantam. It is meant for tapasya. Tapasya which fructifies in the supreme pleasure of the self, understanding that I am not this body. I am the eternal soul. We are not this body. This body is being animated by consciousness. Just like you eat some food and you don't know what's happening. You don't know how the food is being digested. But because of the presence of that consciousness, everything in your body is happening automatically. The food goes through your throat, mixing with your saliva for digestive enzymes. It goes into your stomach, your kidneys, your liver. They are also helping in the digestive process. Then certain excretions come out of the food, which release vitamins. That goes into your blood. It enters your heart. It's pumped up to your brain and to every other part of your body. But when the consciousness leaves your body at the time of death, is there digestion? You cannot even chew the food. You cannot even look at the food. We are not these bodies. The difference between the living body and the dead body is the presence of the consciousness. And the presence of the consciousness is the symptom of the existence of the Atma, the soul. And human life is meant to realize not only theoretically understand, but realize and experience the true essence of our own soul and its relationship with this body and its relationship with material nature and ultimately its relationship with Paramatma, or God. This body is a microcosm of the universe. Because of consciousness within this universe, the sun is rising, and the moon is rising, and the seasons are changing in very distinct order. And the planets, they are all revolving in a particular way. Just as the consciousness creates the digestive process in the body, similarly, the Supreme Consciousness, or Bhagavan, is the reason for all of the wonderful functions that are taking place within this universe and ultimately within this cosmic manifestation. This human form of life is meant only for this purpose. For the jivatma, the individual soul within our hearts, to live in perfect harmony with the Paramatma, the Supreme Absolute Truth, or Krishna. This is the subject of the Bhagavad Gita. Within this material world, there are three modes of material nature: tamaguna, rajaguna, and sattvaguna. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. And these modes of material nature are impelling every living being to engage in various types of activities. And according to the nature of that activity, one becomes entangled, one becomes bound by these three modes of material nature. Traigunya vishaya veda nistraigunya bhavarjana niradvandvo nitya sattvashto niyogakshema atmavan. Krishna says the perfection of life is not to raise ourselves to better conditions of material life. The purpose of this life is to get out of the entanglement of the three modes of material nature. This material world is sometimes called Durga. It is a prison house. If you were in a low grade of the prison house, the purpose is not to improve your situation. Some prison cells have adjoining bathrooms. Some prison cells have their own bathroom. Some prison cells are infested with rats. Some prison cells, there's no rats. Is the goal of life to have a prison cell with no rats and your own bathroom? The goal of life is to get out of the prison. What is the prison? The prison is the bars of ignorance within our own mind that keep us from understanding our true essence, our true glory, and our relationship with Krishna. The soul is Satchit-Ananda. It is eternal. It is full of knowledge, and it is full of bliss. But because we are under the misconception due to ignorance that we are this body, and we are constantly engaging in activities under the three modes of material nature, sometimes we enjoy, but ultimately we always have to suffer. This is not pessimistic, this is realistic. It is a fact. Tapasya means we must, with determination, practice the process of purification and self-realization. We must accept the principle of yajna in our life. Therefore, Maharaj Bharat, when he was only a young man, he left his kingdom, he left everything for the purpose of showing the rest of humanity that the first priority of life is to realize Bhagavan Shri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was only 24 years old, he left everything to teach people the science of God consciousness. India, Bharatvarsha, is the land which has become great because of these men and so many like them. Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya. We read in the newspapers of how here in India there is so much concern about economic trade with other countries of the world, how we could utilize the resources, the wonderful resources that God has given us in this nation for the purpose of exporting and developing a better economy. That is all right. No one has any objection if we can become stronger economically. But we are cheating the world if we do not export our real natural wealth, the wealth of transcendental knowledge. Our own beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was living here in Bombay, in fact, very close to this place in Dadar. But he was given the order by his spiritual master that you should take this knowledge of Sanatana Dharma and you should circulate it, distribute it to all the countries of the world. When he was 70 years old, the time when most people retire and try to find as comfortable arrangement of life as possible, it was at that time that he left. He left Bharatvarsha. At 70 years old, he had no money. He was a sadhu, a sannyasi. Harivo, Dhanavat, Sridhar Maharaj Ki, Kavi Chandra Maharaj Ki. Our great fortune and honor, two exalted sadhus have just come. His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj and His Holiness Kavi Chandra Maharaj. Everyone, give them your warm welcome. When Srila Prabhupada boarded that cargo ship, leaving the shores of India, he was going as an ambassador of all the people of India and all the previous saints of India to distribute the true wealth of bhakti, Sanatana Dharma, transcendental knowledge. What was the goods that he brought with him? The Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the wealth of India. And he found that millions and millions of people of the world were starving for the teachings of Lord Krishna. Starving for the truth and the realization that I am not this material body. but I am the eternal soul. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And yes, as he sat in a small park in New York City, chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. People started coming. They wanted to understand. And soon hundreds of temples, beautiful farm communities, millions and millions and millions of books being distributed. And millions of people's lives being changed. This is the wealth of your own ancestry. This is your inheritance. Bharata bhumi te hoila manushya janma jara janma saratika kara para upakar. We have all inherited, by taking birth in this land of India, the responsibility to understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita as it is. To understand the true teachings of Sanatana Dharma, and to solve the problems of birth, old age, disease, and death. And perform the yajna. Perform the sacrifice by which we could realize the true goal of life and give that goal to others. We are all part of Krishna. Therefore, we are all meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. Krishna says in Gita, Tasam aham bija pratāputya sarva yoni shukhontiya murtiya sambhavantiya tasam brahma jaha joniya aham bija pratāputya. That Krishna has created all living beings. He is the seed-giving father of everyone. Srila Prabhupada used the example that the children of a father are all expansions of the father. Why does a father have children? The only reason a father has children is so that he can enjoy his children and he can enjoy with his children. In the same way, Krishna has expanded himself as all living beings so that he could engage in loving exchanges for his supreme enjoyment. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrichchati. Everything is meant for the enjoyment of God. Krishna is the proprietor of all that exists. And he is the sweetest, most intimate friend of all living beings. The yajna that Krishna is explaining here in Bhagavad Gita is to learn how to dovetail all of our activities for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes we think of tapasya or yajna as something very, very painful and dry. But actually, the tapasya that is described in Bhagavad Gita is full of life. It is full of bliss. Arjuna. Krishna spoke Gita to Arjuna to teach him that the perfection of your life is to perform your duty, not for the sake of doing your duty, but for the sake of pleasing me. There is a very rampant misconception that Bhagavad Gita teaches that you must do your duty, and if you do it honestly and faithfully, that is the perfection of life. But Krishna says here in the third chapter, Jagyaratat kamanon yatra, loko mam karma bandara, taratam karma konteya, mukta sanga samacharaha. Every type of work that you perform, if it is not done as a sacrifice for the pleasure of God, it is the cause of bondage. Arjuna was a military man, he was a family man, and he was a warrior. Arjuna was not a sannyasi. He was not a Vedantist. And after Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to him, and he was fully enlightened with transcendental knowledge, he was still a family man. He was still a military man. And he performed his duty for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the true teachings of Gita. We must learn to orient all of our activities in the service of Krishna. And how do we do that? Krishna explains, we have to perform all of our work in consciousness of Him. Krishna consciousness. Sarva dharman purityaja, mamekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshai samimasachaha. That abandon all varieties of religion. Surrender to Krishna. Krishna will relieve you of all sinful reactions. And we will be free from fear. And how to surrender to Krishna? This is explained. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mame vaishashi satyam te prati jane priyoshime. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and bow down to me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this. To learn to perform our duty in consciousness of Krishna does not mean we have to change our occupation or change our ashram. It means we have to change our heart. And actually, it is very simple. It has been made very simple in this age of Kali Yuga to give everyone, without exception, every chance of perfecting their life and achieving the highest goal in this very life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, He appeared in this world, in this age of Kali Yuga, in order to establish the Yuga Dharma. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is declared by the scripture to be the Yuga Avatar. And He taught us the Yajna for this age. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangha Phanga Saparashadam Jagyai Sankirtana Priyai Yajante Hi Shumedashaha. That those who have good intelligence in this age of Kali Yuga, they will worship the Lord by the chanting of the holy names, by coming in the association of other devotees and raising their arms high and very loudly calling out the holy names. Krishna, 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 there's a story in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th canto, about Harivo Bhima Prabhu. Everyone welcome Bhima Prabhu. Bhima is the temple president of Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Mandir in Juhu. And a very dear friend of ours. on a mountain called Trikuta, there was an elephant named Gajendra. This story really reveals the nature of this world and the goal of life. Gajendra had anything a person could possibly want. He was the king of the jungle. Even the lions and the tigers, they all respected him and feared him. And all the other creatures, they all felt that he was their protector and their friend. And he had a wonderful family with wife, chaste and loving, and beautiful, beautiful children. And his wives and children, they were so proud of their father, because wherever he went, he was respected, he was adored, and he was loved. Who in this world, in this day and age, is loved and respected by everyone? He had nothing to fear. So one day, he went on an excursion with his family members for the purpose of enjoying with his loved ones. Something like a holiday. So he went to a beautiful lake of crystal clear water. And he went in the lake and he began to splash the water on all of his family members to give them pleasure. And they were so happy. And he was so happy that he was making them happy. But at the least expected moment, a crocodile came and bit into his leg and made it bleed. And he was biting harder and harder and trying to drag Gajendra deeper into the lake. He was so powerful. He had so much resources. He was thinking, what do I have to fear? He began to fight against this crocodile. But as he was fighting, the crocodile was biting him harder and harder. And because the crocodile was in the water, which is his natural place, not the natural place of an elephant, the crocodile was getting stronger and stronger, and Gajendra was getting weaker and weaker. And he realized, with all of his strength, with all of his wisdom, he was in a hopeless condition. There was nothing he could do to save himself. At that time, he looked at all of his friends, and they looked back at him. There's nothing we can do. And he looked at his wife, and he looked at his children. There was nothing that any of them could do. When he was on the verge of death, at that time, due to his previous association with devotees of the Lord in his previous birth as Maharaj Indradyumna, Krishna gave him the remembrance of how to pray to the Lord. And with his trunk, he plucked one lotus flower and raised it into the air and began to pray. My dear Lord, see what an ignorant fool I have been. Becoming so attached to these fallible soldiers that cannot save me when I need help the most. It is a fact, your family will not help you when you need help the most. Nor will the government. Nor will all of your bank balance. Nor will any of your own intelligence or physical strength. It is only Krishna that can save you when you are in a desperate condition. I am your eternal servant, Krishna. please. Liberate me once and for all from the bondage of all these material attachments. And place my consciousness eternally in your loving service. He was in a helpless state of mind. And in that condition, he cried out for Krishna's help by chanting the holy names. And in the Mahabharata, we find the same thing has happened. Draupadi, such a beautiful, clever, and chaste lady. And she was married to the greatest conquerors in the whole world, the Pandavas. But when she was dragged by the hair by Dushasana into the assembly of the Kurus, Duryodhana ordered, strip her naked. Today, women of other countries, low-class women, they are very much fond of being seen as close to naked as possible. But for a civilized woman, it is a fate worse than death. For a woman to lose her chastity is worse than losing her life. So Draupadi, when her sari was being pulled from her, she turned to Yudhisthira, to Sahadev, to Nakula, to the greatest bowman in all the creation, Arjuna, and to the most powerful of all warriors, Bhima. She was thinking, what do I have to fear with husbands like them? But they all looked down to the ground in shame. They could not help her. And then she tried by her own strength to hold her sari. But she was just a woman. And Dushasana was a Maharati, a great warrior. When she realized that there was no power of her own or of any of her loved ones or society that could save her, at that time, she raised her arms. Actually, she cried out with intense determination and devotion. She cried out Krishna's names. Hey Krishna! Hey Govinda!
Hey Krishna! Hey Govinda!
Please, very loudly.
Hey Krishna! Hey Govinda!
She prayed in a helpless state of mind. In an utterly humble state of mind, knowing that only Krishna could save her. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that we must chant the holy names in a humble state of mind if we want that chanting to really attract the grace and the power of Krishna. Trinarapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is the most important instruction because it teaches us how to practice the Yuga Dharma in such a way that we will attain the ultimate goal of pure, unmotivated bhakti, prema, love of Krishna. We must become more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer all respect to others and to expect no respect for oneself. In this way, we could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So do not be fooled. Do not be cheated by the propaganda of this material world. To think that there is any commodity other than devotion to Krishna that will give you any relief or any real pleasure. Whatever your duty, whatever your occupation, whatever your ashram, perform it in bhakti, in devotion to the Lord. And it is simple. Association of devotees. Regular association. Sadhu satsang. In that association, we must make intimate friendships. We must learn how to become the servant of the Lord's servants. We must reveal our minds and we must hear the truth. In that association, we learn the sublime eternal teachings of the Gita and the Bhagavat. And then we apply these principles in our own home, in our life, while living at home. We should make our house into God's temple. In the blessed, best place of our home, we should put Krishna. And we should worship Him. And we should offer our families and offer all of our wealth at His lotus feet. We should perform arti. We should regularly read the divine books. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavat, with the commentaries of great devotees of the Lord, like Srila Prabhupada. We should live a pure life. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. And every day, we should regularly chant Krishna's holy name. It is like medicine. If it is taken regularly, according to the prescription of the great spiritual teachers, it will cleanse our hearts of all ignorance, of all lust and pride and envy and greed, of all anger and illusion. And it will allow the true original quality of our soul to shine through us. Not only to bring light and joy to our own lives, but to bring light and joy to all of our loved ones and to the world. It is very simple. Everyone can do it. Today. Without changing your occupation, but just changing your consciousness by the association of devotees and the chanting of the holy name. Let us all find true refuge in the lotus feet of Krishna by becoming humble servants of His servants and very loudly crying out His holy names. In our own private homes, to chant on the Japa Mala and completely absorb our hearts and our minds and our senses in the holy name is a necessary sublime process for purifying our lives. But it is also essential that we come together as we have come together tonight to engage in the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy name. Because this congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name not only purifies ultimately our own lives and everyone who is present, but this sound vibration is carried throughout the entire world and throughout the entire universe to bring about the awakening of pure God consciousness in the hearts of all living beings. And it is for this reason out of supreme compassion, that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna avatar, has pleaded with all of us to take seriously this Sankirtan movement. Lord Chaitanya taught us that by raising our arms, through this process we are reaching out for the kind refuge of the Lord's mercy. And together, we all become, when we all come together in Sankirtan, we become one. We become one in spirit and one in love and devotion. And the sound vibration that emanates from this Sankirtan of the devotees becomes one voice to change the world. So let us loudly raise our arms and chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you very much.